But for now, it is time to cross on the line. We're going to speak to netball royalty, and she's just recently been inducted into the Sport Australia Hall of Fame. Kath Cox, good morning.
Good morning, Jamie. How are you?
Very well. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Scott's got a massive smile on
Kath,
his face.
We got the elephant in the room is you and Jamie know each other quite well.
Yeah, she's one of my besties. She's a good stick, Jamie, so I was more than happy to be awake at 7:10 this morning to do this for her. My daughter's looking at me like, where's my breakfast? But she can wait.
Yeah, although Harper's pretty good. She often can bring Kath some tea in bed, or Harper is the most delightful little girl.
Well trained.
Yes. Yeah, well, I've been working on it for a while, so yeah. Kettle gets turned on in the morning, it's a win.
Well, Kath, let's just start off by talking about your induction into the Sport Australia Hall of Fame, because I was lucky enough to be there to watch it all unfold and the ceremony, and it was just sensational to stand there and look around the calibre of athletes that you're now a part of. I mean, you and I both fangirled over Dawn Fraser, but you're now part of those elite, incredible Australian athletes.
Yeah, it's still pretty crazy. I thought by the time I had got round to the actual ceremony happening, because it was announced a couple of months before that, that I'd have my head around it. But you, as you say, you walk into a room like that and you see, you know, your John Eales's and your, who else was there? Everybody was there. Too many to even mention, but certainly Dawn Fraser. And you think, oh my gosh, this is just crazy to think that I'm included. And then I saw overnight that Shane Warne was elevated to legend status within the group, which is just amazing. So nice to see that sort of thing happen as well, and accolades for what he's done throughout his career. But yeah, a really special moment. I think I'm cooked now, though. I'm done. That's it. That's got to be the end of the awards for me. This year's been
quite a few.
Yeah, it's all happened this year. Everyone kind of thinks, oh my God, what's happening this year? I'm like, what's COVID? There's been 2 years of nothing, so it's just all happening at once, which makes it look pretty special. But no, it's been an exceptional 2022. Can't believe it's nearly over, and I think I'm actually done.
Kath, what's it like preparing? Like you said, you knew the event was coming. You knew you had the award. Like your speech, I mean, did you go over it 100 times? Did you try and think of something funny to go? How did you prepare for the moment?
Yeah, look, I knew who was going to be there. We were lucky enough to invite 10 people, so I knew I had, you know, family, a really special coach in Julie Fitzgerald and some of my great mates. So I wanted to make sure I touched on all of them, as they were the most significant probably people I wanted to thank throughout. But you also don't want to be there for, you know, 10, 20 minutes having a rave about yourself, because I'm not into that either. So it was pretty quick, but I made sure I touched on, you know, the people that really mattered and really helped me get through it all.
Do you have to watch how many drinks you have before? Yeah,
I know.
Yeah, she did.
This is actually the worst thing about these awards, and it's very similar to, I think, our next topic, is that I was lucky enough to present the Liz Ellis Diamond, the biggest award of the night at the Netball Australia Awards last week, but it's the last award of the night. Come on. So I had one champagne, and then you're just kind of behaving yourself the rest of the time. But yeah, it's difficult.
Well, you just mentioned then about the Liz Ellis Award. Now, we know Liz is out on a sabbatical with her family, so you did have the honour of presenting Liz Watson Australia's Top Netball Award, and that's the second time that she has won that prestigious honour. Tell us about Liz and what it was like for you to give her the award.
Yeah, look, I love Liz. I played with her. My last year with the Melbourne Victors was one of her first years, so we did cross over. We played together. And I said to her at the end of that year, you will captain Australia, mark my words. I know you will captain Australia, it will happen. And she's like, oh my gosh, no I won't, that's crazy. Sure enough, you can just see it in some people. And she just had that really natural kind of leadership skill, but also was obviously great at what she did on court. So to see her sort of get elevated to that leadership position firstly, but then, you know, to be able to come back from a whole year away from the court last year, and just to step into that position again, almost like she was never gone. But just, you know, she's one of these players that I think every team that come up against Australia or the Vixens, their game plan is to shut down Liz Watson. But no one can do it. I mean, that's how potent she's on court. That's how important it is to try and get a win over any team that she's in, is you've got to shut it down, and you just can't do it. So no surprises at all that she was again awarded the Liz Ellis Diamond this year.
And speaking of no surprises, Janelle Fowler, is she ever not going to win this, the Suncorp Super Netball Player of the Year? It's 5 in a row.
Yeah, it's insane, isn't it? She's only been in the comp that long, so it's not like she's ever missed out on one. But She just, again, completely unstoppable, and that's why the West Coast Fever got up this year with her at the helm there. You know, every year she sets records for the most goals shot in any game, breaks her own record every single year for the most shot throughout the season, and just continues to evolve her game as well. You know, she stands at about 6 foot, I think she's about 6 foot five, so she's obviously a natural holding shooter, but I think she's evolved a lot more into a bit more movement. Likes to take the super shots, loves the long range shots, which is awesome to see. And she just continues to be a player that's hard to stop. So I'm so glad she's in our competition, though. I tell you what, makes it easy as a commentator.
She's shot 97%, but in all seriousness, you've probably thought of this and talked about it a lot. I mean, how, put your coach's hat on, how can you stop her? I understand you try and make the pass in harder, etc., but how could you actually stop someone with this physical presence?
Yeah, funny you say that, because I actually joked about taking her out in the change room before the game prior to the grand final, because I feel like that is the only legitimate way you can do it. It is all about teamwork with her, though. And it is slowing the ball down that goes into her. I don't think there's any goalkeeper that's actually had a really good game on her. I mean, if you limit her amount of goals, you probably limit it to 50 as opposed to 70. So it's still really hard work. But, as I say, so glad that she's over here playing. She comes over most of the years from Jamaica and leaves her beautiful daughter at home for the entire season, not to disrupt her schooling and stuff. So she's doing it tough when she's here. But she's certainly an important part of our competition.
Well, Kath, what are your thoughts? I mean, you are on the Fox Sports coverage, but overall, how do you think the state of netball is in our country? Obviously, through grassroots, it's so popular and enormous and continuing to grow.
Yeah, look, it's one of those things I think that's kind of had us scratching our head for a really long time, in that we have such a massive base, over a million people involved in the game every week, the biggest grassroots there is of any sport. But why it doesn't transition into numbers, into eyeballs on television, and we're still working through that phase, and it has been a battle for netball for a long time, but we're getting there. Certainly, as you said, with Fox Sports just then, we're getting more shows on the television, where we're having more opportunities to highlight some of the superstars of our game, and I think that's where it really does lie, is lifting the profiles of our great players so that they become household names and people do really want to invest in the sport. Obviously, though, no issue with the fact that it's one of the most popular games, and I think you'd struggle to find any female anywhere in Australia that hasn't at least played netball at some stage in their career. So I think we're in a really good position at the moment, and certainly if you look at what the Diamonds have managed to achieve over the last, 12 months, we're certainly looking in very good shape ahead of the World Cup, which is next year. I mean, and not bad to think that we could lose a $15 million sponsor and find another one a week later either. So I think we're doing okay.
The mighty Victorian government. Thank you. All the best.
Yes. Well, thank you indeed, because it was looking fairly dire there for a minute. But we're back on track, which is, nice to know to wrap up the season.
Kath, with all these awards that you're winning and attending, I mean, you could obviously reflect on a lot of things. I mean, if someone said, who's the best player you played with? I know there's a lot in that boat. Who would you say?
I reckon I was really lucky to be able to train on Liz Ellis directly every week, and that certainly made me a better player. Yeah. Liz was my teammate for 14-odd seasons. The whole time I was pretty much playing for Australia as well, she was in the team with me. And just to be able to have someone of her calibre knocking you around, putting you on your butt on the boards every game and every training session does toughen you up, and you certainly learn a lot about the game and how strong you've got to be. I think that was probably the biggest lesson she taught me as a rookie, was really how tough it really was. Netball now is far more physical than it ever used to be, and you've got to be able to take it without, losing your cool too much. And that was a good lesson to learn early on from her. But, playing against some of the best in the game certainly helped.
Now, Kath, for our listeners who might not know, but you're also a racing fan. And you are a racehorse owner. You've actually got two, but one hasn't reached the track yet. But your other one, Ruby Kisses.
Yeah, she's going great guns. She's had a couple of good wins, raced in the Magic Millions a couple of years. So she's, as I suppose most people would say, involved in racing, you're very lucky, very lucky if you can get a horse that even ends in the top three regularly. So she's been exceptionally good for us. So exciting to be involved and to to get out with the girls and watch all female syndicate, as you know, because you're involved. And just another excuse for us to drink champagne and watch the fillies go around. But she's having a little spell at the moment, as we all should be at this time of year.
What's Jamie like as an owner? Does she get, because she has the context, does she get aggressive towards a bad ride, or is she, what's she like,
well,
Kat?
I probably get more aggressive towards a bad ride because I don't fully understand all the ins and outs, but Jamie does, so she's far more patient with, oh, you know, it was a bad choice of jockey, or the track was this or that, or, you know, so she's probably far more relaxed, and I just want her to win every single time and don't understand why she doesn't.
Yeah, we certainly have a lot of fun, and a Lady Brulé is the other horse, so keep an eye out when she eventually gets to the track. Gerald Ryan is within that stable, so hasn't arrived yet. She's sort of been in the, she's come close a few times, hasn't she? I've also been that horse, if you remember.
Well, Jamie, I think her debut's taking as long as mine did.
Yeah.
Quite a while before I hit the court for the first time.
Yeah, that's a very good way of putting it. Lady Brulé is going to be the next Cath Cox.
Oh, well, look, hey, if she could hang around as long as, that would be impressive.
What's with the name? You girls come up with that? What's the theory there?
No, we actually didn't. So, well, we could have your say, so you can contribute, but because we're minor owners, we just get like a ballot. So you get sent round a list, and then we just vote saying 1, 2, 3, 4of the names.
Yeah. I think we own like an eyelash each.
Yes, exactly. We're very, very small owners. So as a result, our say in the names is just voting on suggestions. And to be honest, I didn't vote for either of these names.
Oh.
No. I can't remember what the other options were, but I thought, we're better.
I think I was against Lady Brulé as well.
You've got to think about when the caller is saying the names, it's coming down the straight. You want something that's really exciting and, I don't know.
Yeah.
We named a horse London Fog because, the fog's lifting. That was the theory. Yeah, the commentator, London Fog's lifting on the inside.
Oh, yeah, see, that's smart.
Okay.
That's a great name.
The owl's shaking his head. Yeah.
We'll have to put a bit more thought into it.
Yes, please do. Next one.
Yeah, for our next one, whatever that is. Well, Kath, thank you so much for your time this morning. It's always great to chat to you.
Absolute pleasure, guys. Have a wonderful day.